Another version of the story you have just heard, well, sort of the story Mark 2, spot the difference. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the tax collector said, "I thank you that I am not like other people, arrogant, pompous, hypocritical, like this Pharisee, for instance." But the Pharisee stood far off and wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I wanted to do that because I think there is some hope for Pharisees. If we're honest, I think most of us, like the Pharisees, or the Pharisee in the original story, find it easier to see what's wrong with other people than what's wrong with us. If we lead a fairly upright life externally, we're much more prone to that temptation. And if we do behave badly, we can always find excuses for ourselves. "I was provoked. I was tired and depressed. I was angry about something else. I had toothache. It's the fault of my mother when I was a child." Whereas he or she just laid into me for no reason. It came from nowhere. We make allowances for ourselves, but often not for other people. We may not know their excuses, of course. The Pharisee was an observant Jew, highly respected. The tax collector, on the other hand, wasn't like someone who works for HMRC. He was a collaborator. He had sold out, literally, for a lot of money to the occupying force, the Romans. And so he was an outcast in their community. And on top of that, tax collectors often dishonestly took more than they should have done, using bullying tactics. So they were hated. And yet the punchline is this: "I tell you that this man, rather than the other," "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified by God." Now, justified by God means accepted by God, or right with God, or at peace with God, made right. So, if you can move on, what did the tax collector do right? Well, maybe that's the wrong question. It was God who justified him. But did the tax collector do something which allowed this to happen? So let's compare the two prayers. The Pharisee thanked God he wasn't like other people. And then he spent a lot of word count thanking God for a list of things he'd done right. We might not in our prayers do that explicitly, but perhaps we can look at it a little bit symbolically, or as we go around our business. Whereas the tax collector came before God in a completely different way. He stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He beat his breast. That's a sign of penitence. It still is in many Christian traditions. And he only said seven words: "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Now, I think that word mercy can be misheard in our culture. In the Bible, mercy is full of compassion and loving kindness. full of the nature of God. And I also think the word sin or sinner immediately produces two problems for many modern readers. First, we tend to think sin either means something very serious and criminal, which we haven't committed, or else it means something very trivial, like eating a cream cake. But Paul says in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Other people are not a measuring stick. God is the measuring stick, and none of us measure up to him. And the second problem that the modern reader faces is this. Doesn't language about sin cause people to have an unhealthy sense of guilt? Well, yes, it can. But it shouldn't, because all of this is in the context of God's love. If that's forgotten, then yes, talking about sin can become a stick to beat ourselves with, but it doesn't have to be like that. We live in a broken world. We live in a broken world with broken people. The first book of the Bible tells us that we were made in God's image. In other words, we were made to reflect God. But something went wrong. And one thing leads to another. And as we look around our world, we see human beings hurting each other. And we see hurt people passing on hurt in many ways, nationally, internationally, in families, in the workplace. We see human messes. We blame other people, individuals, politicians, governments. But actually, we are all implicated. We all suffer from other people's sin, and we all sin against the love of God. We fall short of the glory of God. And we see each other's shortcomings so much easier than we see our own. But the only person I have any control over is me. The only person I'm responsible for is me, and perhaps occasionally a grandchild if I look after them. So it is much more fruitful to think about my shortcomings than to think about other people's. And that's what the tax collector did. A health warning: when we are aware of our sin, we must also be aware of the love of God, and aware that he longs to forgive us and to make all things new, and that Jesus came to free us from sin. A true story from the 1990s. In the early 1990s, a man had a successful business which unexpectedly failed in a recession. It was the sort of business that you wouldn't expect to fail, but times had changed and it failed. He had borrowed money for the business from his father, who was elderly. And he hadn't told his father yet, but he knew that not only would he himself lose his home, but also his elderly father would lose his home. And he couldn't bear it. So, under that pressure, he thought up a very clever fraud. And the fraud was discovered, and he went to prison. And like many people in prison, he reassessed his life. A friend of mine got to know him, a priest, and the priest took some advice from a wise older priest who had been a prison chaplain for many years. And I don't know exactly what was said, but one snatch of that conversation was reported to me at the time, and I've never forgotten it. The retired prison chaplain said, "It sounds as if he thinks he's not really like the other people who are in prison with him. He's not like that." But the truth is, he is like that, and God loves him despite everything. That's what he needs to get in touch with. And the reason I've remembered it is that that is true of all of us. We are like that, and God loves us despite everything, beyond our imagining. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The biblical scholar George Caird says of the tax collector, because his mind is on God, he knows himself to be a sinner. He has faced the truth about himself and cast himself on God's compassion. And this makes me think about my daily prayer time. I'm going to risk being honest about my daily prayer time. Sometimes I think I start like the Pharisee, and sometimes I think I start like the tax collector. And sometimes I'm like both, or all in the same prayer time, but at different times, perhaps. So maybe one day I'll come feeling quite pleased with myself. I've managed to get to my prayer time on good time. I'm organised for the day, and really I'm quite holy to have a prayer time at all, aren't I? And I sit and I become aware of being in God's presence. And gradually I become aware of who God is and who I am in my inadequacies, the resentments I carry, the messes I've made worse or even initiated. And that is when grace begins to dawn. That is when God's love starts to get through my hard shell. I come before him empty, broken, real. And I become aware slowly that God loves me as I am. God seeps into my cracks. He holds me. And I realize that despite everything, I am precious in his sight, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified by God, not because of who he is, but because of who God is.